Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show.
710 ESPN. It's the Sliwa Show.
Alan Sliwa just threw down 9 hot dogs and took down Mace to win the first ever Mason and Sliwa hot dog eating contest. But now Sliwa's got to do his show till 9 p.m.
Mace, how do you feel right now? I'm talking about like physically the fact that you had 8 dogs. Like, how do you
feel? I've got a trash can right here.
Yeah, I'm not feeling good.
It could go at any moment.
Definitely not feeling good.
We may see chunks.
The Sliwa Show continues.
Give it up for the champ himself, Alan Sliwa.
Yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up, and they stay there. And they stay
there. Oh, Mario.
This song takes me back to, like,
my stomach is struggling.
You got this, Alan.
I feel like everything is now settled in. So now my stomach is like, okay, it's processing all the processed food that I just took in. And by the way, fellas, I've been doing keto for a month.
You're going to blow up tomorrow for sure.
So just think about this. Think about this. My body... what it's been taken in for the last 30 days, a lot of good stuff, a lot of good nutrients, a lot of greens, but no carbs.
That was the big thing. That's what I was going to say. Is you're missing
no
the big
freaking
thing.
Carbs.
It's keto then, is very low carbs. And you just and
all of a sudden,
down
yes, all of a sudden, I just started throwing Nathan's hot dogs, okay, into you know, obviously the system. I heard LZ say, why would you do that to your system? I heard him, you know, say that this morning. I'm like, that's a great question. Why would you do that to your system? Okay, let's just be real here. Let's all be real for a quick second. Definitely threw up a couple times. Okay, definitely that's already happened. But I feel like it's all starting to settle now. Like now it's like, okay, hey, we're in. We're far enough in processed where like, that's it. Like, this is staying in your stomach. Whatever's in there is staying in there. And that's where I think my stomach is like, what the hell is going on in here?
So now it's getting ready to be processed off the other end. Is that what you're saying?
I ain't saying anything. All I'm saying is that this is a very interesting feeling at the moment. Okay, so
what a way to start 4th of July weekend.
I know. Earlier today, Anthony Davis got a chance to – how great was this? You know, AD, a player that obviously every Laker fan absolutely appreciates.
Wait. Before we start this 8 o'clock hour, it's my boy, it's my dog, Alan Sliwa.
That's what I'm talking about. Kirk Morrison in the house. That's what I'm talking about right there.
Alan, I told you all week long, I expected this from you. Show up and show out. And you know what you did? You did that. You showed up. You showed out. Now, we can work on the game face because you had an ugly face going the whole entire time, and I understand why. But
bro, I was struggling.
You battled, though. I saw you fight. I saw you battle, man. And that's what I'm talking about. We representing the night show, man. We representing the night shift, right?
Oh, this is
so
great.
We thugging it out, and we had to, and you did it, Alan. Like, for real, man. You represented. You can walk around. When they let us back in the studio – man, your chest better
chest
be poked
out a little
out.
Bit. Chest
I'm talking
out.
About your chest has to open the door for you. Your chest should be so far poked out. You don't need your arms. All right, Alan. Though seriously, though, man, congratulations. Because at first you were just like, "What did I get myself into?" And look, man, you won.
Kirk, let me be real here. Let me be real. I'm telling you, when we were sitting doing the show on Tuesday,
yes,
and I said, "Kirk, I'm in a hot dog eating competition. I don't know what I'm doing." You took it so serious. Remember I was saying, I'm like, when's your motivational speaker? When does all that stuff start? I'm not kidding. You go look at the tape after the W. I said, shout out to Kirk Morrison. Kirk, you came through, man. You delivered. Now, I feel like I ate 9 hot dogs and probably don't feel the best right now, but got it. Had to go get the W, Kirk. Had to go get the W.
I'm glad, man. I swear, man. I'm glad you did it.
That's so awesome you called
in. I was watching it. I watched it live, and then I watched, you know, how it all went down. The only thing is, y'all got to work on that camera work, though. All I'm seeing is like the top
just
of your
face.
Head, just face. I see Mace over there struggling, but man, to see you raise your hand victorious and represent, man. Like I said, not only did you represent Alan Sliwa, but you represented myself,
Jesse
Lopez, our producer, Curtis Poindexter, our board op man.
The whole
yes,
game,
yes, sir. Hey,
it's
whole game.
Hey, I'm a happy co-host right now, okay? So that's why I had to come on to give you my congrats, man. Nothing but love. You represent it. Hey, man, have a great rest of the show.
That's the man right there.
Alan Sliwa.
That's the man right there, Kirk Morrison. Look at that. Nice little shout-out from Kirk. I love that guy. Kirk's a good dude. Kirk's a motivational speaker in his other job in life. How funny is that, Jess? How funny is that? Freaking Kirk.
He texted me an hour ago.
I haven't looked at the video, but I know what he's talking about because everybody's saying they can't see anything or whatever. So I'm just
that's the controversy.
Well, there's no controversy because I took that as a dog. So if anybody wants to say it, I don't pay attention to it, but. Here's the one thing I will say. I was so in my own world, I literally wasn't paying attention to anything. I had the headphones down, so I can't get the volume, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not turning the volume up on the iPad because if I do that, it's going to interfere with the Comrex that we have, which is, you know, obviously the show I'm doing from my phone. So I was just in my own little world. I had no idea what they were talking about. I told you, I would look up at the score and I'm like, what are they doing? I'd say 5-1.
See,
seeing how many freaking dogs I'm throwing in my mouth. Like, my mouth never stopped. It never rested.
See, I think they underestimated that because you never came. It's funny because Ramona kept pointing out that you kept drinking water, but you weren't getting up. There was no indication that you were finished a hot dog. So from the beginning, I saw that. I was like, all right, I see what you're doing. I knew what you were doing from the beginning. You're just in the zone. You're eating them. Not to mention, you said it from the beginning. You're going to take the earphones off to eat. You're not going to hear anything. So you were in the zone. You took it the way Kirk, you know, kind of led up to it, the way he pumped you up for it. You got it. You were in the zone. You were ready. You didn't hear any other outside noises. It was
headphones,
just you,
headphones
the hot dogs,
had to come
and
off.
The water.
Headphones had to come off. I couldn't have headphones on while I'm
no
taking down dogs
way too much
and
of a
doing
distraction.
A sponge. And yeah, that wasn't going to happen. All right, let me buy some time here and play some Anthony Davis. First of all, I'm not buying time because of anything other than I'll continue to drink sparkling water. Anthony Davis, who is not just the present, the future of the Los Angeles Lakers – did a Zoom call today with some of the local reporters. Let me see what we got here. I know there was a few here. Lakers' chances on winning a title after the long break, and this is coming from, you know, obviously a player that was playing as good as basketball. We're expecting so much from him come postseason. Here's AD on the Lakers' titles hope.
I think it's kind of the same. Obviously, we're missing a key piece, AB, but I think our chances are the same. I mean, you know, we got guys who's healthy, guys who's ready to go. So I think it's kind of the same. I mean, nothing changes from my standpoint of, you know, our chances are lower. Actually, I think our chances are higher just because we are all rested and we're all ready to go. So if anything, our chances got higher. And, you know, excuse me, it's going to be about just who wants it more. I mean, you know, everybody kind of had a decompression of the season and obviously, you know, with stuff going on. But it's about who, what team wants it more, and which team can stay healthy.
All right, one of the things I was curious about, I was actually wanted to ask Caruso this yesterday, but asked it to AD today. Has he ever given this any thought? There's going to be literally zero fans inside of you know, Orlando. Has he ever? This has got to be, you know, obviously a new experience for all these players. Here's AD's response on not having home court advantage anymore, not having that fan base that either pumps you up or pumps you up the other way because you're on the road and they're all against you. Here's Anthony Davis.
It's going to be different. I mean, you know, obviously we feed off, you know, Laker Nation, home and on the road, and it's going to be very different. not being able to have them by our side during this time. But, you know, everybody is going to deal with it. So, like I said, it's going to be more of a mental thing than anything. You know, if you're coming out having a bad game, there's not going to be, you know, fans there to kind of get you going. You know, you got to kind of, you know, as we kind of stay on the team, bring your own energy. And, you know, we're going to have to, you know, make sure that we do that every night, especially with no fans. And, you know, I think we're, you know, motivated as a team and self-motivated, you know, to win. But it's definitely going to be different for all of us, you know.
Love hearing from AD, right, from Anthony Davis. I'm sure at some point we'll get a chance to, you know, hear from LeBron, some of the other players on the team. But Anthony Davis, that's one of my favorite players in the league. Just love his demeanor, love his style, his personality, and obviously what he does on the basketball floor. So here's Anthony Davis from earlier today. All right, let's get halftime started. Fellas, how we doing?
Special halftime, a celebration.
I'm in presence of the GOAT.
True GOAT, Alan Sliwa.
I love how that, like, eating a lot of hot dogs is considered like a win. I love how that's the criteria of
the
a win.
The whole story is a win.
We're living in 2020.
Let me say this. Let me say the pretty freaking, you know, Mace always talks about entertainment, right? Like, you have to entertain. Hey, look, here's the bottom line. You know what you know. So I only know so much. It's not like I've been doing this for – these are – we'll use Mason as an example a little bit later in the show when we have
Antonio Morales.
There you go. Sorry, drawing a blank there. Antonio Morales, who has the whole history, the oral history of Extra Sports 690. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Mason and Ireland dating back that long. That's how long they've been doing this. They're unbelievable at what they do. They're unbelievable at their craft. And this is what they do. They entertain. When I say that, like, here's the truth. You only know what you know. So if I come on, and, you know, obviously I'm doing the evenings now. We're all doing it together. You kind of try and figure it out as you go. But kind of genius from Mace to just be like, okay, let's do this. And then the way they promoted it, the way Morales kind of, you know, hit it up all during the week, like, that was entertaining. Now, do we feel that there'll probably be some other competition coming in the near future. Probably. We'll see what it is. But at least for tonight, before 4th of July weekend, that was fun. That was a good time.
Just got to stick to the game plan. I'm excited for the next round of food, which I hope it's hot wings.
Food. Yeah, I can't do food.
You were definitely a silent assassin with all this, though.
I don't think anyone
was ready.
That's the thing. But
we
I don't
knew
talk.
You were ready, but I don't think anyone else knew you were ready.
It's not my style. I'm not I don't run the mouth.
You took the Phil Jackson approach. You know, everyone thinks you're out there, you don't know what you're doing, you don't have confidence. No, you're figuring out as you go along. You're not calling timeout because the Mace is, you know, calling you out.
I could use a couple timeouts. I could use a couple timeouts right now.
I mean, yes, now you can.
No, okay. <kidding. laughs> All right, what are we doing? Curtis, why don't you get things started?
Well, it's so difficult after what we just witnessed to see anything. But
I'm burping every 3 seconds. Just a heads up. Keep
another
going.
Since we're talking about goats, figure we get this one out of the way.
Okay.
NBA 2K21 announced. So they have multiple covers for their games. We saw yesterday, I think, that Dame was on the cover. They announced Zion. Yeah. It was going to be the next generation consoles games cover. And Kobe Bean Bryant is the there's going to be a Black Mamba edition of the game. It's, you know, they do something really cool. I know, Alan, you've been behind in the games for a while, but they spotlight, they don't not only put a player on the cover, they almost do a storyline where you play through their career in like a mini series of like 10-15 moments and stuff like that. So I'm sure we'll play like Kobe going up against MJ and all that, but what I want to ask you guys, give me like your top, what Kobe Bryant game or moment you want included on 2K for sure. Ooh, that you'd like to play.
That's a good one.
So there's a moment. Okay.
I mean, of course you're going to have the obvious ones. You're going to have, you know, obviously it's going to be play game 7 versus the Celtics and come out on top. Obviously it's going to be, maybe it's going to be a what if. It's gonna have play the was it the 04 championship that they lost to the Pistons? Maybe, you know, play that series as Kobe and win the championship.
It.
Yeah,
now I get it. So you could play specific scenarios.
any moment from Kobe's career.
Yeah, they build scenarios out of. Usually it's like a round robin. Here we'll take you into this moment. You play as Kobe and do this. Here's your goal. So I know they did show that they were going to do the – I don't know if it was the All-Star game where he matched up against Jordan. That's one of the early ones, but you know, when they were both still in the league.
When he was a little Laker boy?
Yep. And it's just it's moments like that. What would you love to reenact and play? And I mean, for me, it's the last game for sure.
Oh, wow. Okay,
you
got to
close out. You got to close out with the final. Score as many points as you can. You kind of think, you know –
You know what I love, Curtis? What I love, and I probably said this a couple times on the show already, but man, there was something about those Kobe and Shaq years for me, you know, like where I'd love to replay some of those games where it's like Chris McGee was on. What was he on?
Monday.
About a week. Yeah, Monday, right?
It all blends together.
And he was talking about, what was he talking about? He was talking about the 2000 championship Lakers Pacers in the finals. Kobe's 21 years old. Shaq fouls out, and Kobe just walks on the court like, I got it. Everything's good. Out. Hitting shots over Jalen Rose, hitting shots over Mark Jackson. I mean, it didn't matter who was guarding him, right? Looks over at the Lakers bench, tells them all to calm down. I don't know what it was about that era with Shaq and Kobe. And Kobe, as much as he wasn't given the amount of credit he should have been given, that was just because Shaq was so dominating. But he was just coming into being this superstar on the rise. And then they got their first championship. Then they get to, you know, obviously they go back to back to back. And then Kobe becomes the player that he is. But something about that era I just loved because he was still so raw and you weren't 100% sure what you had from him yet.
It was like a coming out game of sorts, or maybe like a precursor to what his career, you know, could only the potential that his career had he maybe kept the mindset. I mean, that's talking about if we were at that moment watching it at that point. I mean, we all know what it led up to now, but there's so many different moments just at the top of the head that I can pick off. What I want to know is how hard they're going to make it to score 81 points in the game. Because I mean,
put it on rookie. That's what it was.
Yeah, probably. But there's kind of one game for me in particular that comes to mind just because for whatever reason, I very, very vividly remember I was working at like my very first radio job and they had a little like the standard TV, standard definition TV, and it had the Lakers channel. It had Spectrum. It was like its first or second year. It was in 2013. It was against the Raptors where the season was still on the line. Kobe took over the game in the last, like, 2 minutes, hit three clutch three-pointers to tie the game, to put them up, and then to seal in overtime. I remember being, you know, running the board and, like, watching that game and just popping every time Kobe hit that three. You know, it was, like, right before he tore his Achilles. So it was, like, it's kind of like that last moment he really had that I remember before, you know, the ultimate Achilles tear happened.
I know I've said this a couple times, but you know, getting a chance to do the pregame show with Michael is amazing. And every time we look at each other and I give, you know, these injury updates, and I'll say, all right, this player is questionable because of a shoulder injury or whatever the case is. He always looks at me and goes, you think Kobe would have played? And we talk about it where it's like, this dude tears his Achilles. Let me just kind of walk this through again. And you tell me if you got another sports moment that you can remember where – and there probably are, but this is one of the most incredible, crazy sports moments you could possibly think of. Tears his Achilles, starts feeling down, like, what the heck just happened? Knows, kind of starts to realize what's happening. Walks over to the bench. Timeout is called. Walks over to the free throw line. Hits two free throws. Walks from the free throw line all the way to the locker room. I'm not saying that this is how every player should act when they tear their Achilles, because God knows what I would do if I tore mine. But there's Kobe Bryant.
Like,
oh my God, are you kidding me? But there's Kobe Bryant in a nutshell. That's who he is. Like one of those players. It's like unhuman. You know what I mean? So that's a great idea from the video game. I think I'd go to that era that I'm talking about. with the Kobe and Shaq era. But that's definitely interesting. Jess, what do you got, bud?
All right. So I kind of have a bone to pick. So yesterday it was announced that Beavis and Butthead are getting a reboot.
Okay.
Did you used to watch Beavis and Butthead, Alan, or no?
Very little. Very little.
I watched a little bit of it. I wasn't.
They were on Beavis MTV, and Butthead, right? Guy, Alan.
Yeah, MTV.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
yeah, you definitely weren't.
I'm a huge Beavis and Butthead guy. I just know they were on MTV.
Yeah, this is the real interesting thing with the reboot, though, is creator Mike Judge will oversee two new seasons that will feature meta themes relatable to both new and old fans. And by new and old fans, they mean Gen X parents and their Gen Z kids. So, one, I think that's a kind of really super specific, interesting thing. But two, my bone to pick is, if Beavis and Butthead is coming back, where's my King of the Hill reboot? I know you.
Yeah,
guys,
you should get
me.
No, but you should get King of the Hill back. If Beavis and Butthead's coming back, then
a
King
second
of the Hill.
Time, because they tried Beavis and Butthead a couple years ago, canceled it halfway through the first season.
Who would want that? Like, is there an age group that's into that? Like, who's into that?
That's the interesting part, is that they're just skipping over the millennials, which I think for the most part is like that.
Missed it.
We're that core demo for advertisers, if you really think about it. But they're specifically tying Gen X parents, which is, you know, just outside, right around your age group, Alan, to Gen Z kids, which is teenagers or like, you know, really, you know, early 20 kids now. So a completely skip the generation. I remember watching Beavis and Butthead. Yeah, some moments were funny, but to specifically kind of theme it back to that generation, but also to relate it to their kids. Like, how do you think that generation gap, because literally it is a gap, can work for them? Do you think it's going to work or not? That specifically, that model.
No, I don't, to be honest with you. I really don't.
See, neither do I.
Same. I think this... First of all, this generation right now, like the younger kids right now, everything's different. Technology is different. The way they consume media is different. The way they spend their time is different. Like, everything is different. So I think sometimes we'll use as an example. Who brought this up as an example? I forgot. Remember how we were talking about Cobra Kai and Karate Kid? I think Lindsay was doing something. I think it was Mason Island. But Cobra Kai and Karate Kid. The Cobra Kai that came up on YouTube, Premium Red, whatever it's called, right? When they did that, they could grab me, because how much have I been like, hey, you guys got to see Karate Kid? Oh, it's coming out on Netflix. Go watch it, right? Like, okay, so I've been promoting that. But they could grab me because Karate Kid was big back in the day, these three movies that came out. And it's almost like a continued storyline of that, okay? But then they could also grab a younger generation, because – the main characters in this Cobra Kai is actually younger kids. They're like 16, 17, 18 years old. Actually, they're high school kids. So they're actually going to grab two – like, they're going to most likely grab parents and their kids, or they're going to grab, you know, adults and teenagers or whatever the case is. So I think that's probably has more of a chance to work. Plus, it's on YouTube. Like, I think that has a better shot of working than something like this with Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. See, my only thing is I'm gonna gripe, and I'm gonna start that movement. I'm gonna start the Return King of the Hell movement. I want to know what Bobby Hill has been up to, and I want to know what Hank Hill.
King of the Hill was very popular, right? It was very popular.
It also
correct?
Ages
it was,
very yeah. well. Even
oh my
it was
god,
so
that's why
ago.
I wanted to come back. It ages so fast. You can watch it today and laugh because there's so many relevant things.
Curtis, did you watch it? Were you a King of the Hill guy?
When Jess brought this up to me, I was like, yeah, I agree with you, man, because it didn't get the popularity it deserved, because that's really when The Simpsons were in their heyday too, and they were always the show right before.
So, right before or right after.
Yeah, they didn't get their props all the time, but it's kind of like the characters are kind of awkward.
That's a good slot. You know how they say before or after The Simpsons? That's a great slot.
Well, that's why it's sustained. You know, I think it has 12 or between 12 and 14 seasons, right around there. And it sustained a lot of that that number because it was a great follow-up to, you know, to The Simpsons. It was another adult animated cartoon. And I think, you know, The Simpsons really kind of dominated that. And they still do. I remember, I don't know if they still do it now, but a couple years ago, Sunday nights was their animation domination where they had, you know, the, what was it, American Dad, Family Guy, The Simpsons. King of the Hill was a part of that when it still was around. Now it's, I don't even know what it is, but, you know, Fox has a bunch of adult animated animations. If you really go back to a lot of them, do probably age a lot better than you think.
Especially all right, King of the Hill. Let me throw this one in here as we're going to take this up to Antonio Morales. So Antonio Morales from Baja to the Canadian Rockies, an oral history of Extra Sports 690. I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to actually having this conversation. But real quick today, we got Zion Williamson. So did you guys see this? Did you guys see this this photo of Zion earlier today?
Oh, you mean the – isn't that the Rams' new linebacker, or is it the Saints' new linebacker?
Right, this dude looks. by the way, so the photo is. I think it's a tweet actually. The idea is: look at Zion wearing a mask. He's doing his workout, getting it in. Okay, awesome. Love the message too of having a mask on. Okay, let's look past that for a quick second. What the hell? Look at Zion Williamson. This dude looks exactly like he should look. You know, with the type of body that he has, the type of athleticism that he has, the potential that he has, this dude looks like he's ready to be in the NFL, play linebacker, come off a blitz and, you know, and do some damage. But this doesn't look like an NBA player. This looks like he almost reminds me of kind of how LeBron looks at age 35, but Zion looks fantastic.
You want to know what's even funnier? He just turned 20 years old.
You kidding me?
He just turned
20. What's the saying? It's the saying, a grown-ass man. That looks like a grown-ass man.
Oh, yeah.
Curtis, have you seen the picture yet or no?
No, I'm looking it up.
Oh, right, sorry. I missed it. He's not even 20. He turns 20 in 4 days.
Are you kidding me?
He's still 19, technically speaking. But that
Curtis,
that is full
Curtis, get that picture
man.
Up.
I see him. It looks like a freaking cyborg right now.
Bro, looks like the man. By the way, good for him because remember how much criticism he was getting for – you know, being overweight. But here's the thing. He was coming off an injury. So there's only certain things that you're able to do, yeah. Especially it was his knees. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm sure the Pelicans were extremely cautious on it. I get it. They were trying to get him back to play in shape. And then now that you look at him, and if we get fortunate enough, I keep saying this because, you know, you got to be cautious about what happens in Orlando. But if we're fortunate enough to get these 8 regular season games, get a chance to see, you know, Zion Williamson, how amazing, you know, if you look at him right now, the way he looks, and we already know the potential of his game, how much fun is this dude going to be over the next couple of years? So we'll see what happens, but I know, Jess, you mentioned that to me earlier today. I'm like, let me go take a look. What are you talking about? I go take a look. I'm like, this dude looks as in shape and built and thick and wide. You know what I mean? It's not like lanky basketball player. No, this is somebody that it's almost like Charles Barkley or – you know, one of those old players that used to just play, I don't want to call it bully ball, whatever the case is, Anthony Mason, like players that were just so thick. But Zion looks like the man. And if we get basketball back, I think a lot of people are going to be curious to see what his game looks like.
Just like Sliwa proving the doubters wrong.
Got a lot of hot dogs in me right now, guys. A lot of hot dogs in me. I actually texted Mace. Mace is okay. Mace said he feels okay as far as like his –
yeah, when he had to put Cassaro away. Oh, in that form. Okay.
I mean
the
body.
I'll give him that then.
Yeah, I mean the body. Okay, let's do this. Appreciate it, Jess. Appreciate it, Curtis. Antonio Morales from Baja to the Canadian Rockies, an oral history of Extra Sports 690. Antonio Morales writes for The Athletic. He's coming up next. I got a little bit of history with 690 back in the days as well. Very, very short history before it was sold up to LA. So we'll get into that coming up next. Stay right here. This is The Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, let me welcome in Antonio Morales from The Athletic. Awesome, awesome article right now. From Baja to the Canadian Rockies, an oral history of Extra Sports 690. Antonio, appreciate you taking the time, man. How are you doing?
Good, man. How's everything going with you? And thanks for having me on.
Of course. Okay, quick question. How old are you?
31.
All right, you're 31 years old. And you go back to one of the You know, such a great kind of rooted story. And you had the opportunity to interview some of the, you know, real pioneers of sports talk radio. And I'm talking about from an ownership level to some of the best, you know, sports talk radio entertainers. Give me kind of an idea. What sparked this idea to put it together? I know for myself, I have an incredible amount of interest in your article. I grew up in San Diego, California. I got a chance to work for, you know, John Lynch for about 5 years down there. And then, of course, kind of running into all these other guys along the way. But what sparked the idea to put this thing together?
Nice. I grew up in La Mesa.
Okay.
So,
all right, El Cajon. Okay.
Yeah. And so I used to listen to 690 all the time growing up. You know, my mom and grandpa would have it on in the car and listen to Rome and Hacksaw in the afternoons on the way home from school. So that was something I listened to growing up. And to be honest, I was really bummed when the station went away.
Sure.
You know, in the format it originally had back in 2003, I think I was in eighth grade at the time, but I was a pretty avid listener.
Wow.
To all those shows. And I think I didn't read the newspaper a ton growing up, even though I turned out to be a writer, but I listened to 690 pretty much every day. And it was a pretty formative station for me. So I've always, you know, looked fondly upon that station and the work and the shows that those guys had. And so, you know, I know everybody's kind of gotten nostalgic a bit during quarantine and look back on, you know, some of the stuff that had happened in the past and things like that. And so I wanted to look at 690 and, you know, what happened there, how it rose, why it kind of fell apart and what the personalities were like, because obviously they had big ones there. Hacksaw was, you know, a different personality. Jim Rome had his unique sound. Mason and Ireland, obviously, were different than the rest of the shows. And still
making it happen. So,
Yeah, so, I mean, there's just a lot of different personalities, a lot of unique personalities at the time.
All right, so Antonio Morales from The Athletic joining the Sliwa Show. So give us some of the backstory on how 690 started. John Lynch, Ed Noble, Howard Freeman. Give us just the story, and for those who don't know who those individuals are, what was the vision there, and how did this thing get started?
Yeah, I think it starts with John Lynch. He's the dad of the 49ers general manager, John Lynch, who everybody kind of knows pretty well. And, you know, he was based out of San Diego, and he was approached by Ed Noble, and those guys created Noble Broadcasting Group. And Ed Noble had this idea to buy Mexican licensed radio stations. Those signals were very strong, and obviously 690 had a 77,000 watt signal, and that's how Hacksaw came up with the saying from Baja to the Canadian Rockies, because at night you could allegedly hear the station in the Canadian Rockies. So John Lynch, it was his kind of vision after the station had gone, had kind of floundered with a news talk format. It was his vision to kind of flip it to all sports. And there was nobody on the West Coast that was really doing that at the time. I think WFAN in New York was the only station in the country that was doing it. And maybe another one in Philadelphia. Those might have been the only two, but nobody on the West Coast. So there was room for John Lynch to do that. And one of his right-hand guys is Howard Friedman, who worked at Noble, and then he eventually became the programming director at 690. And he's kind of the guy who, you know, put all those puzzle pieces into place at 690 in terms of the lineup, like Mason and Ireland and Rome and all those guys. So Lynch and Friedman are the two that kind of made it happen.
You know, I'll tell a couple, and I could sit here and do it for a while, but I got to work with John Lynch. So I was working for 690, but that was really towards the end. I did an internship there, got a job in promotions, and then that October, I think it was, is when it was sold to LA. So I had literally, I had a job for about 2 weeks at 690. I did the summer internship, then had a job there for 2 weeks at 690, and then it got sold to LA. Long story short, sports station comes back around. John Lynch, you know, grabs the mighty 1090 down in San Diego. That's the, you know, the station. Philly Billy Wardell was down there, ties to 690. Scott Kaplan and Billy Ray Smith, ties to, you know, 690, and that just kind of keeps going there. Yeah. But
Mason was even there for a bit.
That's right. Okay, that's right. Mason was there as well. So it's interesting with John Lynch because, you know, here's somebody that, man, he was just determined. It had nothing to do, you know, how much success that he had in the past, whatever his age was, it was irrelevant. You know, winners find a way to win. And every single day for him, it was, you know, he treated it like sports. He was coming to try and get a W every single day. And to kind of watch somebody like that, you know, I worked at 1090 for 5 years. So to get a chance to kind of watch one of these pioneers that really had a big part to do with what sports talk radio is today. Today, it's normal. We walk, everywhere you tune into, you laid it out in your article perfect. Think about, there's two stations in San Diego. There's one in Anaheim, a couple up here in L.A. 690 used to represent all that area, right? And they were one of the first to do it 24 hours and so forth. So it's amazing. I like listening to some of those stories about him because, you know, I know what he – the kind of the foundation that he laid – for sports talk radio in Southern California. Okay, so there were some other big personalities that were obviously a part of this. What? Tell me, give me kind of a little bit of a story on Jim Rome, how he got started and ended up at 690, and then eventually he blew up.
Yeah, with Rome, it was, he was in Santa Barbara. He didn't like it over there. He kind of said he didn't want to be in the minor leagues and he wanted to get to a major market. He had spent a couple of years there, but He had made it known to a lot of people that he wanted to be at 690. And for 3 years or so, he told me he would put it on the record and say, this is where I want to be and this is where I want to go. And so there was raging fires in Santa Barbara 1 year, and he was providing updates to all these stations who were calling people in Santa Barbara asking, you know, for people on the ground and what was going on. And he did that, you know, with the intention of having access to other radio stations, to people who could potentially hire him. And 690 was one of those stations. He had seen them hiring Hacksaw and giving Hacksaw his own nightly sports show, and he knew that kind of opened the door for him. And he did well at these fire updates, and then eventually they brought him in there for a tryout. He had been writing everybody letters in terms of,
I saw that, you know,
programming
right.
directors. General managers, even Hacksaw, he wrote them letters, sent them his resume. Then he got a tryout, and he didn't hear back for 3 months. And later on, he ended up getting hired to do a Saturday afternoon show, I believe, on the weekends at 690. He was only doing one night, I think 1 hour a night in Santa Barbara, so he got his own show. And he was doing updates, and the rest is history, and Rome became Rome, and that's kind of how the empire all started.
Antonio Morales from Baja to the Canadian Rockies, and oral history of Extra Sports 690. Okay, did I read this right? Hacksaw and Rome, is there something there? Do they still not like each other? Or it didn't sound like there was too much congratulations, which is, you know, it's kind of sad because Hacksaw, look, give the man an incredible amount of respect because man, he's got such a history in Southern California. Even though he doesn't have a, you know, a mic anymore on a daily basis or anything like that, I can still sit back, give the man credit for what he has accomplished. But do him and Rome, didn't sound like in your article that they're going to be showing up to each other's 4th of July barbecue.
No, they haven't talked to each other in a while, and there's just a difference in philosophies between those two. And I think, you know, they don't talk to each other much. They haven't talked to each other in years. I think Hacksaw said he might have seen Jim at a wedding a couple of years back, but, you know, they don't have much to do with each other. And, you know, like I said, even back then, it was just a difference in the way they went about, you know, their shows. Hacksaw was always a straightforward news kind of gatherer, or news kind of a news show, straightforward facts, and Rome was a lot of takes, and, you know, Rome essentially created the take, and, you know, he had the jungle, he had the clones, and it was just a much different show, a much different approach, and I think Rome, when I interviewed him, he kept it civil at first, but then when he heard some of the things Haxall said about him, you could tell that sparked a little fire under him. And he said some of the stuff he said in the article.
Yeah, you know, I like kind of going through and just seeing everybody chime in at different parts of the article, which is, you know, it just kind of, it takes you back a little bit. Let's say that. I remember I used to call in Coach Quintero, you know, had a show, and I got a chance to work with Coach for a number of years down in San Diego. Great guy. One of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet.
Yeah.
But I remember I used to call into his post-game, or not post-game show, but it was just his evening show. And, you know, it was after Lakers big game in the playoffs or something like that. I used to call him the coach, and yeah, it's just, it honestly takes you back to when you were a kid, and a lot of this kind of brought up some of those memories. Okay. So what happened? How did 690 eventually, how did this powerhouse eventually crumble?
Well, it was Clear Channel had bought the station from J-Core, and J-Core had bought it from Lynch. So Clear Channel kind of gobbled up J-Core and 96 or 97, I believe. And I think in 97, Clear Channel launched Extra Sports 1150. And 690 had already established such a stranglehold on Southern California at that point that, you know, 1150 couldn't really make much of a dent. You know, it was a Los Angeles-based station while 690 was based in San Diego, but it still had such a regional pull to it because the signal was so strong. And 1150 kind of just never made a dent. They had the Dodgers rights, but those were coming up in 02. So in 02, I think in order to kind of help out 1150, they merged the two stations, but it came at the expense of 690. So they moved the Cannons to Los Angeles, the Loose Cannons to Los Angeles, and Haxall's show became more LA-centric. They kind of abandoned that San Diego marketplace. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was kind of 690. I think Scott Kaplan mentioned in there, 690 was such a smothering presence that they kind of had to get rid of it to make room for LA and 1150. Mm. And obviously, you know, those two stations become, you know, 570 later on. But, you know, at that point, you know, San Diego was just, that station was just so strong, and Clear Channel was kind of hell bent on building a Los Angeles presence that they kind of did away with 690 to merge the two.
How about that? You have something that's working and you find some shape, way, or form to take it down, and that's exactly what they did. All right, I'll make this the final question here. Antonio, what part of your research did you do that you enjoyed learning the most? Which conversation that you had with, you know, any of these that stood out to you? Maybe you could take me kind of behind the scenes a little bit.
Yeah, I think Rome was obviously a fun one just because I grew up as a fan of that show and been listening to you know, that show on and off for about 20 years. But I think Steve Hartman was one of the more enlightening conversations. When I had talked to a lot of people for that story, they'd always mention Steve Hartman's knowledge of trivia and, you know, how he has this great trivia mind. And then when I spoke to him, he was the last person I spoke to for the story last Friday, and he remembered everything. He had all these details and all these anecdotes, and there's a bunch of them that I didn't even use in the story, but he remembered everything timeline-wise and just had great stories to tell. So that was the most fun I probably had talking to someone throughout. But, I mean, it was a great experience. I think I talked to 13 people for it, and it was all fun. But, you know, Hartman really tied all the timeline and, you know, all the backstories together.
Hartman's great. Hartman's great. He's, you know, definitely still one of the best, you know, radio hosts out there. He does it in San Diego. He's also up here, does TV in Los Angeles. Well, look, Antonio, thank you, man. It's a great article. I obviously work with Mason and Ireland, two of the best to do it in the business for God knows how many years. And you still got all these other great, you know, radio hosts and studio hosts that have been around for a long time. So great stuff there. Appreciate you taking us down memory lane.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Antonio Morales from The Athletic. Baja to the Canadian Rockies, an oral history of Extra Sports 690. I'm sure there are a ton of
sports talk radio fans all through Southern California that, you know, have interest in a story like this, specifically what I mentioned, just because how great the history is. Okay, final thoughts when we come back. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
I felt like this was only fitting.
We made it, guys. The fact that
everybody
we made it.
Everybody hands go up.
The fact that we made it to 9 o'clock, you know, right to the
end
of the show.
You made it to 9 o'clock.
Actually, got to be honest. It went pretty fast, actually. It wasn't, it wasn't as bad as I thought. Like, I was thinking today, I don't know. I couldn't really game plan for the show. I'm like, what the hell are we going to do? I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to feel after, you know, this hot dog eating contest, but it's over. By the way, how much are you guys looking forward to? So no show tomorrow. Obviously, then we got the weekend. 4th of July coming up. How nice is that? Just have three solid days off. It's going to be great.
It's going to be fantastic, and I cannot wait.
Curtis, what's the game plan?
I don't know, but this literally set the tone for the weekend. Like, I was,
it did.
Like,
we're going into the weekend.
I was
fantastic.
Like, oh, we're just
going
to have a long break, whatever, it's fine. But I'm pumped now. I want to go.
I appreciate
you know?
That you guys got hyped. I appreciate the way you guys got hyped. How about Kirk calling in?
Hey, that was great.
Had Mario texting me. I'm like, look at this. We got
that's
we got,
the team. That's
got
the
my
we.
People.
That's
got,
the we got, we're talking
got,
about.
Got our people.
That's
but it's
right.
it's gonna be nice. And this it will continue to be the theme. Whatever you got going on this weekend, be safe. Obviously, wear a freaking mask. So hopefully that's
ticket.
Gonna continue. Is that what happens now?
They're now
in West Hollywood.
Okay, so I go for walks in the morning. If I don't have a mask on, do I get a ticket?
I don't know. It depends where you're at, but it sounds like they're gonna really police the
good
the beaches
they should.
And
they said they're
ready to hand out citations and stuff because before our show, I was watching the news. They're preparing to dissuade people from doing it. It's like just don't do it, man.
Wait, did they close? Didn't they also close the beaches, you know, all that for this weekend? Right? Actually, I think they did it. Is the beaches closed for 3 weeks, or that's just those bars and those restaurants and some of those other – the card facilities, the card games?
Well, I think, like, the, you know, the restaurants and the car dorms or whatever they are, all that's kind of closed indefinitely. The beaches
– that's an immediate reaction to what's going on now, I think.
Yeah, I'm
pretty sure they're going to stay closed, but I'm pretty sure they're just kind of emphasizing this weekend because it is – the 4th of July weekend, and it's, you know,
sure,
it's
everybody's
kind of
gonna
like,
be out.
It's like
on a Saturday,
yeah. You know, we get this extra day off, so as in tomorrow, a lot of people have tomorrow off, so it's kind of that extra precaution. I mean, I'm ready, I'm gonna stay home. I already got my friends who are not playing, we're gonna be playing video games all day. I have a drawer from IKEA that I bought that I still gotta make, so I'm all
busy.
Ready. I'm set.
You got stuff going. Hey, Curtis, can you play this for me real quick? This will kind of play off of, you know, everybody trying to be safe and so forth. Windhorse, he had something earlier today on the jump that I wanted to play real quick. This is in regards to the NBA. If teams can't follow the COVID rules, how can we expect players to follow them in the bubble? Play that real quick because I think this also has a kind of a theme to the weekend. Everybody, every citizen's got to obviously follow these rules.
What are the rules? I don't know what the rules are because the rules seem to be changing every day. The protocol came out two weeks ago, and there's still changes happening to the protocol.
Come on.
I know what the rules are, but I'm going to tell you something. I know that players are not supposed to do any exercise for 2 weeks if they test positive for COVID. Yet we've got coaches coming out and saying about players, yeah, he's coming back. He's working out. He's doing yoga. And I'm like, wait a minute. He tested positive last week. He's not supposed to do anything for 14 days. So if you can't follow the COVID rules, if the teams aren't following the COVID rules, which is what this is all about, how are we going to expect all of the players to follow the example? I'm with Dame. I'd like to think in a perfect world that wouldn't happen, but we don't live in a perfect world.
All right, that's Brian Windhorse right there. All right, so the theme is this. Walk into this weekend. By the way, it's not just this weekend. You know, listen, it's not just about sports either. We just got to be smart. Everybody's got to be smart. We are in a very interesting time in life, so let's be as smart as we can. Okay, we come back on Monday. So Monday's Lakers talk. We'll get a chance to, you know, obviously talk some Los Angeles Lakers basketball, get the latest that's going on in the NBA. Saturday, Dr. Clapper and the Kamenitsky brothers will do their show from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., so don't forget that as well. L.A., appreciate you guys tuning in. Had to get the W from my evening peeps. Jesse, thank you. You got a nice weekend. Curtis, hope you have a great weekend as well. Make sure you tune in starting on Monday. We'll get back at it again. Have a great extended weekend.
Thank you.